Haven't we missed that?
It's been a while.
Welcome back to the Berlin Boys Club podcast. How's it going, Cam? You're still alive?
Good, Connor. Still here, man. And feeling good, if not a bit windswept by the madness of this year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we decided to come and have a chat about again. We decided to dust off the old irons, get the backpack together, and kind of talk about the learnings of 2020.
Absolutely, in an all new Zoom format, we've moved on to.
We have moved on.
It's a mutual isolation, but I feel very close to you right now.
Also, I feel this is also going to be a kind of a great way to bridge our laziness.
Absolutely.
You just meet like this, there won't be arguments over who's going to whose area of town to record a podcast.
Yeah, and there's no excuse, really. I mean, you know, you don't even have to wear pants. I am wearing pants, but if we didn't want it, we wouldn't have to.
I'm wearing pants too. I'm not sure they're buckled up, though.
So we comment on our mustache game as well. It is November. November.
We have mustaches.
And we got mustaches. Yeah. Well, the makings of one anyway.
This is pretty solid, Cam. No one on here, even if they're only listening, can doubt. They can hear that testosterone in your voice, Cam.
They can feel the mustache.
They don't need to see it. But we digress. I think this is just our joy and appreciation for being back together.
Exactly.
We're fanboying on each other.
That's right. Let's keep it civil.
So you and I, we've been talking a lot during this year, and I think we've been kind of this year. I mean, but since we've all been put into lockdown, I think you've definitely been like kind of my pep talker in chief when she's been hitting the fan. And
Oh, likewise, man. I think we've relied on each other to kind of get a sort of a barometer and a gauge for what the vibe weather is at any given point. And it's always good to catch up and wander and talk, talk the weather, really. It makes me feel more grounded, and having that to sort of bounce off with you is always great.
Yeah. Like I've totally noticed this, like, I guess the last 6-8 months, it's just this kind of, at one level, and we talk about this sometimes, the kind of the, when you get to see, the work that you're doing on yourself, when you get to see it kind of in action. And just like lots of moments this year where I've kind of noticed, say, situations where I think ordinarily I might be losing my shit. I might be freaking out more, and I'm kind of going, actually, no, this hasn't been so bad. That's been like, not to kind of like, not like to fist pump or sort of say I'm on a victory lap or anything, but there's been lots of moments where I'm like, Jesus, I'm really glad that I've been putting in a bit of the work, reading some of the right books, doing the meditation, and kind of here realizing, okay, so like so many different career opportunities and so on have fallen through, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. There's still
absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound, I mean, that's more just acknowledgement, I think, that you've, I guess been, as you said, doing all the, passing all the tests and doing all the work in years leading up to it. And I can empathize with that. And I feel like this year, although it's been, tumultuous, and same as you, work's fallen through. There have been, lifestyle changes that have had to happen. It's actually been one of the better years of my existence.
Yeah.
And that's been really interesting. Seeing how it's affected differently.
Yeah. How? In what ways? Like, give us examples of how it feels better.
Well, I think the last couple of years I had just as many challenges that weren't related to, a global pandemic or, the issues of the day, and had to kind of pick myself up off the ground repeatedly. So when all this stuff kind of hit, I didn't feel like the ground had gone anywhere. I'd sort of experienced, having to go through periods of regeneration and learning new resilience, I guess. I think that's the big lesson for a lot of people this year has been, how do you feel comfortable internally whilst the world sort of appears to be on fire or crumbling in every possible way?
Yeah, and maybe even how do you, I was just having a conversation with a friend today about this, just about the idea of like a lot of weirdness going on, a lot of strange behavior. In friends. Yeah. And I was like, it's a little bit like, we're all kind of sat in the fire in many ways right now.
Yeah.
And I think like, to resist trying to put the fire out is actually sometimes the best thing to do. I know that it sounds like kind of doublespeak, but I think there's a lot of people who are just trying to control things around them.
Yeah.
And so they're just latching on to anything that they can try and control. When maybe the reality here is just to kind of, to be able to somehow remain grounded with not being in control of anything anymore.
Absolutely, man. I think a good analogy is probably a bit like a riptide, right? If you're trying to... Yeah. Go against the bastard, you're going to tucker yourself out and you'll be, you might drown yourself. But if you just instead go with it, don't panic, look for the 90-degree angle and take your way out there and swim back, in a more safe way, not against the forces.
There you go.
I don't know.
No. Just the whole idea of one of the big things that we are recognizing is this idea that we just can't plan anymore.
No, exactly. Our movement has been so restricted and travel. And I mean, you're balking that trend a bit with your sweet van. You can at least get on the road there. But
and I can't escape to the countryside now and again and go shit in the woods.
That's right.
And do my thing. That is very
but generally speaking, it's been a bit of a cabin fever kind of year, hasn't it?
How do you do when you're on your own, when you're on that? Because I know like you live on your own, I live on my own. How has that been? Like again, like this idea of like, this year is as a series of tests, right? That's been a test. How's that been for you?
I think so. I feel pretty fortunate. You and I are both writers. We work solitary traditionally, although you've branched out into more group work and stuff with, away from the desk. But that's still my world, more or less, most of what I do in my days. And that's how I've spent the last decade or so. So
yeah.
I feel personally pretty well insulated. And as long as I get out and do see humans from time to time, I don't mind the solitary life. It hasn't been a massive shift in terms of how I spend my hours. So I feel fortunate about that. It hasn't hit me as much as it's hit other people.
Yeah.
So really, business as usual, more or less for me. I just make sure I do what I always do, which is go out for a run, at least usually once a day, clear the head. Like yourself, get on the meditation.
Yeah.
Usually every morning, maybe in the evening as well. And if lockdown restrictions allow it, go out and meet people when I see fit. There are ways to stay within your routines and make sure you've got your rituals sorted to kind of keep some regularity and some sense of grounding.
This idea of ritual, like we kind of spoke a little bit about this before, like what are your go-to rituals?
I tell you what, man, one that I've adopted in the last couple of months See, I don't know about you, but I used to wake up really not tense, but there'd be a few seconds of relief. I'd feel fresh coming out of my dreams or whatever, but then the list of things to do would hit.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was really hard to persuade myself to meditate. I wanted to just hit the ground running and
yeah, of course.
Get on that stress freeway, which, as we know, is troublesome. So instead, first thing I do is I light a candle and I light some incense, and then I just lay down for another 5 minutes.
Fuck yeah!
So that
fingers to panic, isn't it?
What's that meant?
It's like a two fingers to panic.
Exactly.
It's like, fuck you, stress. I'm a fucking burn some incense and lie on my bed. I love it.
Absolutely. But that just instantly calms the mood and it puts you in that meditative, inducement state. So, and then you often do just feel like taking it very gingerly and maybe taking that 10 minutes to realign and listen to some nice music or whatever. And the day is always better if you do that. So that's the latest one, and that's been working wonders.
Yeah, nice. I try and do something similar to that, like with this whole idea of kind of, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's a little bit like the bombs are dropping already. And I love to just, you know, even if I've got a busy day ahead of me, to just be like, you know something, fuck it, I'm gonna lie in bed and I'm gonna read 2 pages of a book. Just as a complete as a kind of an act of kindness to myself.
So good, man. Yeah.
And then I go in and do my meditation and burn a little incense. I mean, it smells like a Nag Champa factory these days. I keep it in 2020 bad vibes.
whatever works. In terms of your meditation and stuff, do you have a set routine that you use every morning, or do you mix that up depending on how you're feeling?
I'll meditate in bed. I wake up in the morning and then I'll just sit in my bed and I'll meditate and kind of I over summer I was having a bit of a more casual relationship with meditation where I was just, you know, doing 20 minutes. And then I think probably as the US election began to really move into top gear, I had a couple of little weird moments with friends and I thought, oh, the heavy tension of autumn is and winter is coming back. And that's when I was like, all right, I'm going to go back up to doing like an hour a day. And that's been good, because then it's very much like a kind of a, what would you call it? Like a colonic for your brain. You know, it flushes out all of this shit. And then I come out of the meditation and I'm suddenly like, well, you know, that phone call that I needed to make to the bank, it's just gone way down the priority list all of a sudden.
Totally.
Or the need to do this is just, meh. What I notice coming out of a meditation is that my appetite for feeding stress is reduced.
It instantly puts everything into perspective. And as you said, those tasks that seem so, you know, pertinent before plunging yourself into the cortical colonic, as you said, you can do that shit the next day. Go to the bank on Wednesday or whatever. Exactly.
But sorry, you were going to say something.
I just really just wanted to underscore, like, this year has been great for remembering to take it really easy. And if you need a nap or whatever, if you're feeling tired, have a nap. You know, just learning to be really good to yourself and remembering that. That's been another take-home point, I think.
Yeah. You know, I heard this earlier in the year and I thought this is a fucking great way to look at this. The idea that if you had deliberately, the idea to imagine that you have manifested this whole situation yourself, like that you made this happen yourself in order to teach yourself a lesson.
Yeah.
Like, what would that lesson be?
Sure. Yeah.
And as a way to try and kind of like somehow underscore, or maybe not underscore, but excavate a positive from what appears to be a very negative situation. Is there a way that you can kind of look on this? I know, like previously, like, you know, kind of coming out of relationships that weren't the best relationships, I'd go like, okay, why did I need to go into that relationship and what was the lesson? And the lesson would be like, oh, you need to kind of stand more on your own two feet, or you need to do this and you need to do this. So if we kind of look on Corona as a toxic relationship that we've somehow invited into our life, like what is the great like takeaway? Like, what is the reason that we did that? What were we trying to teach ourselves?
Yeah, why did we manifest these conditions? What sort of transformation did we need from it, or did we call upon
a Corona club?
Exactly. And what would that be for you, if you can say it succinctly, or is it a range of things?
I think at one level it was this idea. For me, it was a lot about like piss or get off the pot. It was a bit of that for me, this idea that it was like, right, like there is a life that you want to live.
Yeah.
And you won't get there like at the way you get there is just by totally embodying it.
Sure.
So for me, this was kind of a year of like, say, I suppose I've been flirting with spirituality for the last, say, 4 or 5 years. And meditation and certain amounts of woo-woo and so on. And this was the year when I bought the farm. Do you know what I mean? This is the year when I was like, right, I'm into this, you know, and I want to live by this. For me, that was simply just about trusting that that there's something very deep inside of you that is protecting you all the time. Connecting to my own rituals at a much deeper level. Little things that kind of just being way more vocal about my own relationship with spirituality.
Sure.
Rather than say, I think before I was probably a little bit like, had a kind of a spiritual side of my personality and then had a mask that I had at other times. And I think this year was about like getting rid of the mask.
Of course, man. Because I mean, even I feel that still. I mean, I consider myself a like yourself, a very spiritual person, and have my own world that exists in my head that I don't really share with too many people, because a lot of that stuff does still sound, as you said, woo woo, but a lot more people are down with the woo woo. Maybe what's woo woo is like not as woo woo anymore. You know?
Yeah, maybe if we shifted the goalposts of woo woo a little bit.
The coordinates have moved, which is good, I think, because a lot of that woo woo is pretty good, you know. I mean, there's woo woo and there's woo woo, but
I mean, there's a couple of friends talking about burning incense, and then there's I mean, what are the other kind of, I guess, next life reincarnations and so on and so forth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, where do you know, we go to crop circles, we could, straight up dolphin magic,
But I think some of this, though, Cam, you know, it comes back to this idea of like authenticity, and perhaps like in these times of crisis, you begin to see what is superfluous in your life.
Sure, absolutely.
And maybe kind of that sort of, I think that's been kind of my transformation, is I'm like, well, look, I don't want to, I want to have a much more deliberate life. And if I feel that my purpose in life is somehow involved in being in service to other people, then I don't want to do things that don't really fit into that little laneway anymore. I think that's been my big, revelation this year.
Yeah, man, that is so good. And that's something that'll just keep cultivating and keep growing, you know, through next year and right through the next decade.
Yeah.
And if we get through this year.
Yeah. And same thing back to you. I mean, this idea of, say, you know, if why what was the reasoning behind you like manifesting Corona or whatever? Like what
out of that? I think just to consolidate the lessons that I'd learned in previous years, especially 2019 and the year before that, around going through cycles of feeling very internally as if, you know, there is no ground, and that kind of existential feeling of dread, a bit of dark night of the soul, all of that. But this year, really consolidating that feeling of resilience that was built as a result of those previous experiences.
Yeah.
So just to confirm that I'd done a lot of that work, and to go through the tests of that as well, to step more into personal responsibility on every level, you know, energetically, financially. Responsibility has been a really big thing that I've tried to tackle and own. I guess that's been my big.
Do you think you would have been previously more irresponsible?
I think I was a bit more washy with responsibility and probably looked externally for things to happen rather than just owning them myself and claiming that. But the minute I did claim, everything I could, there were some difficult moments and some tricky lessons, but I feel a lot more bulletproof as a result. So that's been a good lesson for me, man. But really, coming back to it, that consolidation of a feeling of internal resilience, that as long as I keep coming back to myself through meditation, through pouring good energy into myself, everything else externally sorts itself out, generally speaking.
I think that's really interesting, that whole idea of pouring good energy into yourself. I think if there's one thing that I've kind of noticed this year is I've become way more sensitive to how I am in certain circumstances. Like I was always aware that I was, or just even with regard to like my present environment or my company.
Yeah.
And perhaps a lot of that is to do with the time alone, the time being kind of locked down, that you do become, you know, you're there with your kind of your meaningless drivel thoughts for days on end, and you kind of become way more sensitive in both a positive and a negative way, I imagine. And I think since sort of socializing opened up a little bit more in the summer and now it's closing again, I did notice that I was very much, you know, pretty much a bit of an introvert anyway, but kind of like seemed to like go even more that direction, where there was just certain company I was like, oh, I don't think I really enjoy being in this group, or I don't enjoy being in this place anymore. And became better at saying no.
Yeah.
To things.
Whereas in the past you would have just hung around and endured, you know.
I think so. Yeah. I would have just sort of I don't know, but I feel that this has been a really good year for being able to flake out on things as well. being able to kind of say no to going to certain things. And as a kind of an act of kindness, you know what I mean? Like I've definitely kind of, I'm sure you're the same. You feel a hell of a lot of social obligations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I totally agree with you. And I love a good flake out myself. I think, I do feel that. And if I don't, you know, if I've said I'm going to rock up to something and I'm not feeling it, there'll be vacillation and maybe some guilt. But I always try to come back to how would I feel if another person couldn't make it to my event or you know. The thing is, I wouldn't care that much. I mean, if someone legitimately couldn't come and they communicated that, no worries. So I have to have that same standard for myself. I think it's about making sure you've got the same standards for how you treat your brain as to how you would treat other people, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we forget that.
Yeah.
We can hold ourselves to different standards.
Yeah.
Or to other people's standards. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too, right? And maybe this is all about this whole idea of like that we seem to keep on coming back to with all the topics we talk about, is this idea of authenticity, you know, and to thyself be true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe that's the great lesson of 2020. Look, we're talking like it's already over, like nothing bad could possibly.
Oh, man. I kind of feel like it's only going to get weirder, and maybe the main events are yet to come, but who knows?
Yeah.
At least shit ain't boring, I keep saying, you know?
Well, there you go. Yeah. Oh, what was it, that old Hunter S. Thompson quote, when the going gets weird, the weird turn
pro. Weird turn pro. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I've been reading a bit of Hunter S., actually, the old 72 trail. It's good reading.
If I could write an article, couldn't he?
Oh, man. You could do a few things, yeah.
We're launching a book.
Yes, the book.
We've written a short book, How to Talk to Men.
Yeah.
Maybe should we introduce that just a little bit here?
Bring it in, my man. Yeah. Well, it's more a manual, isn't it?
Manual. Yeah, exactly.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Basically, it's a kind of, I guess it's a sort of a, it's a series of conversation starters for men to have with other men. And a lot of it is along the lines of kind of sort of how we talk and then what we think is probably some of the most important conversations that men can be having with each other with regard to healing as a gender.
That's right. Yeah.
Group, right?
It was good fun writing this book with you, man. I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product.
it was very labor unintensive because it was so
it seemed to materialize out of nowhere. We just sort of it was just there one day, wasn't it?
It's true. We just it just came to us in a vision. yeah
So when are we putting that out? I can't remember what we said.
Probably if you're listening to this, it'll probably be like in the next few days or the next week. So
beautiful.
Yeah. It'll be a free book from us.
Yeah.
Feel free to distribute it and
it'll be to you all.
Yeah, it'll be available through, I mean, links will be on, I guess, your Instagram page and mine.
Yep.
And that's it. What's your Instagram handle again?
Just Cam Hassard.
It's Cam Hassard.
Yep.
And mine's Connor Crichton. And that's it. Yeah, I thought you had a fun Instagram handle for a while, did you not?
That's the main one. Yeah. I mean, that's fun enough.
Phone or something like that. No, no.
Wrong guy.
We've got to find the velvet saxophone guy. Cam, I've no mantra.
Ah, we're mantraless. That's all right.
You normally have a mantra, I mean, but
We can prepare one for next time, perhaps, or maybe you got something off the cuff. I don't know.
Just to sort of, I guess, the idea that kind of maybe let's just when the going gets weird, the weird term
pro,
and maybe the turning pro is burning a little incense in the morning, spending an extra 5 minutes in bed before the thought police start knocking on your door and getting
giving two fingers to the stress.
Giving two fingers to the stress. Right. Yeah. Cool, Cam. Thank you for
a
lovely podcast. Are you gonna play us out or?
Yes, let me hit the axe. Find my pick.
A single one of these days.
We need some words, don't we?
Thank you.